All right, welcome back. We are here today to talk about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers with returning champion Kyle Appleyard. Kyle, how you doing?
I'm doing great. It's what, 4 years in a row now, right? Or three or four?
I think so. And I think I made the same Miko Grimes joke 4 years in a row without remembering. But this year I remembered that I made it, so I'm not going
to
go for it again.
There's a lot of jokes to be made at the Buccaneers' expense, so I'm sure you can come up with something else.
That's true. Was it last year that they were on Hard Knocks and we were like singing their praises because we knew the team so well?
Dude, all of Tampa was like singing their praises. I mean, I remember like the show started off with like Dirk Cutter at some hokey team meeting where he has a picture of a rocket ship and it's like, we're only going up from here. And then, you know, we opened up with the Bears and you think, man, we're kicking ass. So, like, things are going really well. And then just the Bucks happened.
Yeah. But I think that level of optimism this year has been completely flipped. The Buccaneers are my 32nd ranked team. They are Chester's 28th ranked team, so they're tied for 30th overall in our team ranking.
That's fair.
They are tied with my Jets, so we're 30 brothers here, but I think my team is 30 but maybe going up. Your team is 30 and maybe going down to 32. I'm not sure.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, it's certainly not a good thing to not have your starting quarterback for the first three games of the season. But I think even if he was starting for those first three games, it would still be a challenge. So I think it's an improved team from last year, definitely. Like, when you look at, like, roster-wise, talent-wise, I do think that they went out and they added talent. I don't think anybody denies that. But it's just, like, they haven't shown that they've been able to put that kind of talent, like, they can't make that translate onto a football field, like, at least consistently. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, man, I feel like we're doing this every year, but you guys kind of come in, you have this kind of low expectation. I'm like, yeah, I kind of agree. And then what do you know? It all comes true. So maybe I'm like a broken record here, but
eternal optimist.
Or maybe I'm eternal. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. All right, so let's talk about the coach for a second. So Dirk Cutter, you're 1-9-7, you're 2-5-11. The way the NFL usually works, unless your owner is, unless you're the Cincinnati Bengals, you coach for 3 years, you don't make the playoffs. You generally, but not always, lose your job.
Right.
So it's fair to say that Dirk Cutter's coaching for his job this season.
Yeah,
right?
Well, everybody thought that was the case last year, and that's sort of been the Glazers' MO over the last few years, as in terms of, okay, you give the guy a couple years, you get him out if he hasn't improved the team. And for some reason this year it was kind of a shock, because if you recall the there was a Monday night game where we put John Gruden into our Ring of Honor, and there was a subsection of the Buccaneers fan base that was calling for John Gruden hardcore, like calling for his job or calling for Dirk Cutter's job. And so at the end of the year, it was almost a foregone conclusion. And suddenly, I think even before the season ended, they said, yeah, you know what, we're going to go with Dirk Cutter for another year. Do I agree with it? I don't know, but the logic in it is this. It's like, okay, we haven't had a guy consistently for more than 2 years. It's kind of been like, okay, 2 years, you don't get it done, you're out. Dirk Cutter's kind of fallen on some hard times with Jameis Winston getting injured, now him getting suspended. And of course, like, a few, some injury problems along the defensive line that was absolutely decimated last year. Like, I think that sort of played into the Glazers bringing him back, but still it was kind of a surprise to the fan base as a whole. So yeah, for sure, this is his last year if he can't get it done. Is at least a winning record, at least 9 wins, I think is 9 wins is what it takes for him to be back next year.
You know, we have some knowledgeable fans, some knowledgeable listeners. I think if we asked, like, if I posted in the Facebook group now, hey, who's the Bucs offensive coordinator? I don't think one person could get it without cheating.
Oh, boy. I believe it's Todd Monken.
Yeah, it's Monken for a third straight year. He was also the receivers coach. Now he's just the coordinator. Man, that's an anonymous.
I almost looked like a fool there, because I'm like, damn, who is the
office? Does he not? I mean, but Cutter's an offensive guy, so it's possible.
Right. It's one of those situations where it's really Dirk Cutter's the offensive coordinator. But it's the interesting thing in this preseason, though, is Todd Monken's taken over some of the play calling duties from him. I can't wait for that argument in the regular season, the first game we lose, of like, well, let Todd Monken call the play. Like, oh boy. So I don't know. I don't have any major complaints with him in terms of his job, because that all kind of falls on to Dirk Cutter in my eyes. I mean, yeah.
Yeah. Listen. Yes, I do think. How about this? The Buccaneers need to go blank and blank for him to keep his job.
Oh, Dirk Cutter. Oh yeah. Boy, ten and six. I would say. I think 9-7. Seven is a little.
And if they go 9-7 in the NFC, he might win Coach of the Year. So I don't think.
It's we're gonna have to have a good year for him to stay around. I could be completely wrong, but I think that after 3 years of this and especially, well, it depends. See, that again, this depends. I mean, do we come on strong at the end of the year? Like, do we, you know, because, you know, the Bucs, everybody knows, like, for, I mean, it's, the Bucs are gonna start out slow. So do they kind of storm back? Does the team ever quit on them? I mean, this is a team that never actually quit on Cutter last year. They were in games at the end of the year when you think, man, that, you know, when most players quit on their coaches, the Buccaneers weren't that team. So I think that also played into it. But he really needs to do well this year in order for him to come back.
All right, let's talk about the quarterback situation for a second. So Fitzpatrick is starting the first three games of the year. Is that he's definitely?
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, there's no. You have Ryan Griffin, who hasn't played a single snap of NFL football. So you have an interesting thing coming up with this third preseason game where Dirk Cutter definitely doesn't want Ryan Fitzpatrick to get hurt. So it's like, when do you pull him? But then you pull him and you're putting out your starting quarterback. It's been real funny this entire camp. But yeah, for sure, Ryan Fitzpatrick is the guy for the first three games.
I mean, it's also tricky because it's only three games, but if you get off to an 0-3 start, it just, you know, these guys are only human. Like, it just, you know, sours sort of the entire season.
It's
You know, players would be quitting. If he's 0-3, by the way, Cutter, he could be a week or two away from losing his job.
No. I would disagree with that because I know the Glazers, and the Glazers aren't the type of owners that will fire. They've never done it. They've never fired a head coach midseason. Mm-hmm. So that's not really their MO.
Well, let's talk about this for a second, Kyle. You start off in New Orleans. I mean, that would be a brutal game with Jameis, right?
Oh, for sure.
Then you play the champs at home. You play the champs at home again. And then you play Pittsburgh 8 days later on Monday Night Football.
Yeah.
I mean, which game are you winning?
This is how I look at it. You always play your division opponents close. So the New Orleans game, I think that'll be a close game. I whether or not we win it remains to be seen. But I mean, we're certainly able to put more pressure on Drew Brees than we have in the past. So I think that's out of all of the games, mm-hmm. I think that's maybe the one that we have a chance of winning. The Eagles are one of those teams that we always find ways to beat. I mean, I think the last time we met up, they beat us. But, I mean, we beat them in the NFC Championship. We beat them, you know, in the first game in their stadium. We beat them with Matt Bryan's 62-yard field goal. It's just – and I know these are completely different teams I'm talking about, but it's kind of one of those things where it's like, you know, we always find a way to beat the Eagles. That being said, I'm taking no love away from the Eagles, by the way. I have complete respect for them as the Super Bowl champions, and I fully expect them to dominate that game. But I'm just saying the Buccaneers have this funny way of beating them sometimes, or most of the time. And the Steelers, dude, I don't know. Steelers are so good. So I feel like that's a for sure loss. So,
well, I'm going to drop a take. So if they do go in three, then I think he is coaching for his job in Chicago. I know you say that because there's a bye in week five. I know you say that he's never fired a coach before. First of all, your defensive coordinator is a very experienced coach, right, Mike Smith? I'm going to say if you're 0-4, and I'm not saying you will be, and that Chicago game is definitely winnable, I think there's no chance that he's around for
week six. Oh, so if he drops the Chicago game?
If they drop the Chicago game to 0-4, then I think,
you know,
I've seen
the case made too that to not have Jameis start for that Chicago game because we have the bye week after. So I just kind of
silly.
But it's
a 16 game season.
Every game counts, so it's crazy. I disagree. I don't see that happening. I mean, like, we've had some historically bad starts. I mean, you're talking to the 0-26 Buccaneer fan here, so it's like, and of course the Glazers weren't the owner back then, but I mean, Greg Schiano and Raheem Morris come to mind, where they've just had these awful, awful starts, and they stuck with them because I think they're the type of owner that they like to make informed decisions. They like to take their time and be very methodical with these decisions. So it's not something that they've never done anything knee jerk. But I could be wrong. So I mean, I respect your take. I just think it's wrong.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, all right. Let's talk about Jameis because he'll be back. Have you seen anything from Jameis? So Jameis's last season, a very solid completion percentage, 19 to 11 touchdown to interception ratio, pretty good yards per completion, yards per attempt. Did you see enough out of Jameis in what was last year? Year three.
To be honest, I'm like as a player, as a strictly on field, it's sort of 50-50 for me. Like I'm actually very interested to know what people outside like. I remember one year we did this. It was with I think we did it by division. You guys did it by division, and it was the super interesting thing about that was just hearing their perception of the Buccaneers. So I'm always interested to see what other people think of Jameis, and like because I'm sort of in this.
Can I list guys I'd rather have? Than
oh please,
Jameis?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So obviously, you know, Brady, Breeze, Rodgers, Wilson. Forget about that. Ryan, yes. I mean, some of the really old guys, it's a right. silly conversation, but still, I'll say yes. Roethlisberger, if it's just 1 year, I'd rather probably. Wentz, yes. Stafford, yes. Prescott, yes. Phillip Rivers, I think he's almost done, but still. Kirk Cousins, yes. Cam Newton, yes. Alex Smith, yes. Deshaun Watson, yes. Andrew Luck, Derek Carr. I mean, listen, he's already a below-average quarterback at this point. Marcus Mariota, the most interesting question. Yes.
Okay.
Jimmy
okay.
Garoppolo.
Okay.
Yes.
But go back to the Mariota thing because I'm not offended. I'm just interested. Like, why Mariota over Winston in your opinion? Because that's always the conversation with these two. It's like, okay, is it Mariota or is it Winston?
Yeah. Right. I first of all, I think like who is going to be around and like still be in the league. I think the answer there is like, can Winston control himself and stay in the league? Like, I just don't. I'm not sure. Like, he's one away from basically being done. One more incident, and like, there's no reason to think that he's not going to get in trouble again.
Let's get to that in a second. Let's get to that after the conversation. Like, strictly on field as a quarterback.
On field, who has been better through 3 years?
It's hard to say.
I mean, Mariota was so bad last year. He looked like he was going to be a superstar after 2016.
He won a playoff.
Somehow the team was good. Yeah, but somehow the team was good. I mean, he was pretty bad. If you look at his numbers, they're kind of similar. I mean, obviously there's a dip last year, all 3 years, so I don't know how much he's been improving. He hasn't played 16 games in a season yet, which, let's be honest, good quarterbacks play 16 games every year. Like, that's just, we've been trained for that for a zillion years. Breeze plays 16 games. Brady plays 16 games. The Mannings always played 16 games. Like, it's, you know, even if he's only missing one game a year, like, that's kind of a big deal.
I saw an article in the paper.
I don't love Mariota, but I definitely like him. Listen, if I was starting a franchise, I'm not even thinking. And also, the running quarterbacks don't age well. So, like, the fact that Mariota can run, like, won't be a major sort of bullet in his favor soon, in a couple years. I mean, they're only 24, both these guys. But I don't think anybody's taking Jameis over Mariota.
I think you're right. But there's a writer for the St. Petersburg, or the Tampa Bay Times, rather. His name is Thomas Bassinger, and he did an article recently. And one of the interesting things that he said, it's like, we're so used to the gap having widened at this point of like, okay, clearly it's Peyton Manning over Ryan Leaf, or clearly it's Andrew Luck over RG3. Like, but the gap really hasn't widened between the two at this point, like we're all used to. So everybody's kind of like, I don't know.
Again, but these are two average quarterbacks now.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
It doesn't even matter who's better, really, because they both need to get better or you know, they're going to need to be surrounded by an amazing team to ever be a contender, because they're just so many better. Listen, everyone has a quarterback now. Like, some of these rookies won't pan out, but honestly, they look pretty good right now. And there are very few, like, what teams? Yes, the Giants, Steelers, and Chargers have, and obviously Patriots and the Saints have extremely old quarterbacks and will need to find replacements eventually. And the Packers and the Redskins, you know, in a couple years also. But in the meantime, like, there are very few teams that don't have a quarterback right now, and just Jameis Winston is he's not replacement level, but he's not that much better.
I mean, there's certain sections of the Bucs fan base where, like, well, he's got the most completions and touchdowns that by the age of 24. But what they're not looking at is games played. I mean, by games played, Matt Ryan had more passing yards and in games played.
He's missed three games in 3 years, which is good. Now three
so
more.
He's, I,
but not for.
I think that the jury's still out. He still has a lot of potential, in my opinion, because he's a young dude, so and he still has time to learn. But I mean, just in this last preseason game, he goes out there and he throws for 200 yards, but he also just does like this crazy boneheaded play where he's getting tackled, he throws the ball into the end zone. You're like, what are you doing? It worked, but it's like I can't stand that about him. But it's.
By the way, I'll tell you another player who does that and who's old and still makes rookie plays and will make you scratch your head. Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yes.
People think, oh, he's a smart guy.
No.
Went to Harvard. He plays like the dumbest guy in the field always. And as someone who saw him play a lot as a Jets fan, like he makes insanely bad decisions constantly.
It's nuts.
And the bad news for Jameis is like maybe he'll never unlearn that. And he's been rewarded for being, you know, Farvey in his whole career, Jameis. Like, it would make me nervous as a Bucs fan, like, having a backup who's kind of, you know, a lot people wouldn't make that comparison right away, but, like, they're kind of similar in certain ways. Like, Jameis has a big arm and Ryan Fitzpatrick doesn't. Fitzpatrick's numbers, by the way, were okay. Like, if people are saying, like, oh, those are three automatic losses, like, the three automatic losses because the rest of the team isn't great and they're playing three of the best seven or eight teams in the league. But it's not like Fitzpatrick will probably be competent. I want to talk about the rest of the offense. So
can I just give me 1 second? Like, because again, I'm very interested on the Jameis thing. So what is your perception of him off the field? Are you like a where there's smoke, there's fire guy? Do you feel like, okay, there's no evidence?
Yeah, I think he's a really bad guy. I think he's going to have a tough time staying out of trouble his whole career. I don't know enough about his situation though, like what could turn him around. Like, is someone babysitting him? Like, how can he just stay out of trouble? I don't know if he's learned his lessons. I think he hasn't. I mean, some people are just bad guys, and like some of the things he's accused of are not like being in the wrong place at the wrong time. It's like being a really bad person, and I just like some people are just not good, and he might
tell
be a bad
you,
person.
I think that I am in the minority of Bucks fans who agree with you, because most of them are like, It's all circumstantial. They're all lying. They're all money grabbing. And
if he wasn't a quarterback, he'd basically be out of the league already. But you know, the league
is
nice.
It's ridiculous, dude. And I have huge moral dilemmas about supporting the Buccaneers this year, just because of who's playing for quarterback. But
Listen, there's 53 guys on every team, so just by the odds are, every team's gonna have a bad guy. Your bad guy happens to be the most prominent guy on the team, but. Listen, we've got on my team we have bad players who get DUIs, so I'm going to start, you know, maybe I should start, you know, or Robbie Anderson who, you know, is just walking around threatening to sleep with, cops' wives.
I mean,
or
it was
whatever.
Back in the day, it was Warren Sapp who was you know, adulterous and you know, crazy, but he didn't touch the ball every play, and he was a face of the franchise, but not the face. Mm-hmm. Anyways, I'm sorry, I didn't need to derail.
Yeah. All right. So let's talk about the skill position players, because people are high on the receivers. Let's start with the running backs, though. You guys ran for 3.7 yards per carry last year, which is obviously abominable. Do you see any sort of reason? Is there any hope that the Peyton Barber, Jaquizz Rogers, Ronald Jones trio, or whoever else is back there, is going, you know, going to bring this team to even mediocrity in the running game?
Oh man, Peyton Barber has said and done all the right things in the preseason here in terms of camp and in the games. Like Ronald Jones has clearly shown that he's got a lot of learning to do at the running back position. But I think it's clearly Peyton Barber is going to be the starter. I think really what it comes down to is can we block better for these guys? I mean, we have a really good interior lineman in Ali Marpet that I feel like was way underutilized last year because he played center, and like that's a position he'd never played before. So finally he's moving back to guard, albeit left guard. He's kind of a more natural right guard, but whatever. We get Ryan Jensen from the Ravens, who's a kind of a smash mouth dude. He's like a son of a bitch. He's like. That's who he is.
Totally average, above average center. Totally good player, Ryan Jensen.
So I think we've made some improvements at the line. I think that should translate into a better run game, because look, Doug Martin was I don't know what happened to the guy, but he wasn't the guy that we were used to seeing back in the day. So, and by the way, how hilarious is it that John Gruden picked him up? Like, isn't that the most Gruden thing ever for him to go to the Raiders? Like him and Jordy Nelson on the Raiders. Like, I can't, is exactly what I thought was going to happen. But I think, oh boy, is it better? Like your question was, is it going to be better? I think right now, from what I've seen, I think a lot of the same. I think it's there's going to be games where it's just going to come down to Jameis. He's just going to be throwing the ball. That's what it is.
Yeah. All right. So Pro Football Focus, people are saying we talk about them too much, but, you know, they need 10 competitors out there, and then we'd find, the best one.
Exactly.
So they actually have the receiving core for the Buccaneers as the third best in the league, which blew my mind.
Think so?
Third best in the league. So Evans, Jackson, I mean, they do have a good tight end duo, and nobody even has one good tight end with Brayton Howard. I mean, are you expecting big things from them? Like, do you agree that this is an elite receiving unit?
Elite. I think so. Here's a few things when it comes to this. The Bucs just had a joint practice with the Tennessee Titans this past week where mm-hmm. Mike Evans just went out there and balled out of control. Like, he looked like a man amongst boys out there with against mm-hmm. the Titans secondary. I think he is an elite receiver in this league, hands down. No question. Is he like the best? I don't know, but I think he is. He's an elite receiver. So that's that. Then you have DeSean Jackson, who had he was like useless last year because Jameis couldn't throw him the ball. He was still getting behind the defense, but Jameis just could not hit him. That was one of the most frustrating things about last year because he was there. The play was there. We just couldn't make it happen. And I hear a lot of great things about him in camp in terms of just how he showed up for the voluntary workouts, which apparently he never does. He's looked really good. He's trying super hard this year to really make a comeback as far as like with this team and kind of make up for his performance last year. I think those two factors are pretty huge. And I also think Cameron Brate's like a really good third wide receiver. He's like that slot guy. His guy's going to go over the middle. He's cerebral. After that, I don't know. I mean, I don't see a whole lot. I think Chris Godwin has a lot of promise from Penn State, and I think he kind of came on at the end of last year. And he's going to kind of take mm-hmm. over that role when DeSean Jackson leaves. Like, he's going to kind of slot into that after he's done this year. I really do. I am high. If I'm high in any position or any group of players on this team, I think it's got to be wide receivers and defensive line, which we'll get to later. But, wide receivers are like a huge strength for us.
Yeah. All right, let's flip around to the defense. The 31st ranked pass D? Could that be true? Oof.
Why? Oh, that is true. Dude, they were so bad. They were so bad last year. We did nothing to improve them. We re-signed Brent Grimes. We did go out and draft some help and
Carlton Davis.
Yeah, Carlton Davis and something White. I'm sorry, bad Bucks fan. I know. Who did? Yeah, MJ Stewart. I'm sorry, MJ Stewart and Jordan mm-hmm. Whitehead. So they went out and they drafted a couple guys, which they've been actually playing really well in the preseason. But preseason. Mm-hmm. Preseason is preseason, right? Most of these guys are going to be playing in a few weeks. So, I mean, always a grain of salt with that. But, that's what you kind of want to see. You want to see them showing a little promise. Justin Evans is back in the system, and I think he kind of came on last year. I think he's got another year of experience under his belt. I think you're going to see him improve. Chris Conte is Chris Conte. He's kind of just like a, I don't think he's as bad as everybody says he is, but he's not great, right? I mean, he's not the best. And then Brent, old man Brent Grimes, who's still pretty solid, actually.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, Hargreaves, I think, was okay.
Oh, that's right, Vernon Hargreaves. Yeah. He's actually been kind of a disappointment. I see him kind of slotting into that nickel Rondé Barber position at some point. Mm-hmm. I think that's sort of where he does best because – when he's sort of down in the box or he's able to do a lot of different things on the field rather than just strictly covering. So, I don't know. I would hope that he gets a little better because he's been a little bit of a disappointment so far.
Your team had very few sacks last season, if I remember correctly.
Not a whole lot.
But you do have some talented players in the front seven for sure and some pass rushers. Is there any reason to think that you guys could be an average pass rushing team this season?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that they made a huge focus on getting not only through the draft through free agency, but in the draft as well, of just really stocking up and focusing on that defensive line, because a lot of what we did good in that 9-7 season under Mike Smith and Dirk Cutter was play defense really well and rush the passer really well. And we didn't do that at all last year. And you saw like just teams just throw the ball all over us. Like we have the worst secondary, had, like you said, like very few sacks. And it was horrendous. So they really made it a point this year to kind of go out and get guys that they feel can generate pressure. Obviously Jason Pierre-Paul, but you know, Bo Allen from the Super Bowl champion, Philadelphia Eagles. They went and drafted Vita Vey. They got Vinny Curry also. Yeah. Am I right in saying that? But yeah. And then they still have Noah Spence, who's sort of like that pass rush specialist. He's kind of the guy that's going to be there that's not necessarily great at playing the run, but is good at rushing the passer. And of course, Gerald McCoy, who's getting old actually, but is, you know, still is like one of the best defensive tackles off the ball I've ever seen. Like, just forget about, for, you know, whatever conversation you want to have about defensive tackles, how good Gerald McCoy is compared to them, just watch game film of him and how quickly he gets off the ball and into the face of the opposing offensive lineman. It's unfucking believable. I'm sorry, I don't know if we can curse on this, but it's unbelievable. Fine. So yeah, I think I'll start with average, right? I'm hoping that we could just be average again, and then anything on top of that would be great. So we'll see. Remains to be seen.
Okay, we have a listener, Sam from New Zealand, and he is starting to follow football but doesn't have a team, and he's never really watched football before.
Okay,
and he's asking every single team expert to pitch them on becoming a fan of your team, or you could try and sell them against becoming a fan. So okay. Why should Sam from New Zealand become a fan of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
Hey Sam, how's it going, dude? Listen, the Buccaneers have some cool, no, they don't have cool uniforms anymore. You know what? They've got a great quarter. No, seriously. Why should Sam root for the Buccaneers? Because it's kind of like, the Buccaneers are sort of like the underdog story at this point. We've always kind of been the losers in the league. From what I understand, a lot of people are sort of drawn to that. Yeah, you can go. I mean, it's easy to go support the Patriots or the Giants or the Steelers or, you know, whoever's on top right now. Maybe go root for the Vikings. You think they're going to pull it off this year. And that's fine. I mean, that's awesome. But I mean, the Buccaneers are sort of like the under the radar, the low key team. There's a lot of we're already starting, but from behind the eight ball here for the first three games. We don't have our starting quarterback, and maybe it's one of those things where you kind of follow a team that's from the beginning. You follow them from the up. I support every Tampa team, right? So I remember I've followed the Rays from when they were a joke, and then they went all the way to the World Series in one year. I mean, you could be a part of that, man. You could be a part of a team that was a joke the last year, and suddenly, oh my God, here they are in the playoffs, or here they are in the Super Bowl. Like I think if there's any reason to root for the Bucs, that's the reason. But there's also a whole lot of reasons not to root for him. So I don't know, dude. Maybe find a team that doesn't have a really creepy quarterback. Like, you know.
Yeah, I'm not sure we've sold him. I'm not sure we've sold Sam. He hasn't picked a team yet. He's got teams in the running, but I don't know who's in the lead. All right, let's play a quick let me ask you a quick question.
Okay.
Rookie or I guess really draft pick, but you could pick a UDFA. Rookie not picked in the first round, who you expect to have the most impact this season?
Oh boy. Now I got to look up the draft class. Like, who did we draft this year? Vita Vey was our first round pick.
Yeah.
Oh man, you're putting me on the spot. Probably
in
Ronald.
The meantime, best player on the team that only has three fingers on one hand.
That would be, yeah. Well, did you know that Vernon Hargreaves? No, yeah, it's Jason Pierre-Paul. Pierre-Paul is like the man. Like, you apparently in camp, he's just been dominating. So. It's nice to finally have somebody that's scary on the defensive line. But Ron, my pick for best not guy picked number one, I think Ronald Jones. Towards the end of the year, he'll probably come on. It'll take him a while to understand and learn the offense and
You don't think he's a good, I don't know if you're a fantasy football player, you don't think he's a good fantasy value, right?
No. Certainly not. From what he's shown this year, I think if you're going to draft anybody.
He's getting picked higher than you'd think.
Really?
He's getting picked higher than you think in some of these drafts.
God, that's very surprising. He's not shown anything in this preseason.
Yeah, but neither is Peyton Barber in his whole career.
Yeah, but I mean,
Peyton Barber, that's like, that. You know, that's another word for like, you know, career backup, Peyton Barber.
Okay. So if you're like looking for a bench player, like if it's towards the end
well,
of the,
well, you know, nobody's looking for a bench player, but yeah, I hear.
No,
what
I'm, you know what I'm saying. Like it's you know, it's yes. The later rounds of the draft, and you're like, hey, who do I pick up? You know, maybe I'd definitely go with a lot of Bucks wide receivers. Like, you know, go with Braden and Howard, and go with like Mike Evans and Sean Jackson. But I don't know. As far as our running backs, jury's still out, dude. I don't know. They haven't shown me a whole lot so far.
Let's play the roster game very quickly.
Let's do it. All right, let's go with 18.
All right, 18. Your person is Austin Johnson. Who is Austin Johnson?
Oh, boy. No idea. You know, Austin Johnson was born on a farm in Missouri, and he grew up with a dream of playing football. And by golly, he got a scholarship at Nebraska and finally got his chance with the I don't have no idea who this dude is. I don't know.
Yeah, he's like the last tight end on the roster, basically.
Oh, wow.
Going to make the team.
Good for him. I hope
I do have a question from a Bucks fan.
Okay.
The legend himself, John writes in. John is a really big Tampa Bay sports fan. And he wants to know, he wants you to predict which wide receivers make the roster. So after Jackson and Evans and Humphreys, who do you think is going to make the roster?
You know, Bobo Wilson is an interesting guy. I mean, you saw him on Hard Knocks last year. Like he was,
everyone loves Bobo Wilson.
Yeah, and he's kind of, I hear his name more and more this offseason. I think he might actually make the roster. He's got a little bit of rapport with Jameis Winston because they both went to FSU. I mean, he was. I think you might see him make it. Justin Watson actually is another interesting option because he caught a touchdown pass from Jameis in the preseason, and they've actually kind of built a rapport. It's an interesting thing now with Jameis taking some of the second team reps. He's kind of building this relationship with some of these backup wide receivers. So, I'll go with Justin Watson. Maybe I think Sergio Bailey probably gets cut. Bobo Wilson, sorry, bro, you're making the practice squad.
Okay, I think that's what happened to him last year too, and he eventually made the roster after injuries
happened.
I think later in the season. Okay, so I have here a 7.5, which sounds just wildly wrong. But
really,
I there's no way that number is correct.
That's promising. That's cool. 7.5.
No, I'm not even going to ask you to go over under 7.5 because obviously you'd go. All right, no, the real number is 6.5.
Six and a half. I'll still
that
go.
That was a bogus website.
I'll go over. I'll go over 6.5. I'll be optimistic.
But
why not?
This is probably pre. Yeah, I'm going 4-12. Me ranking the Bucks 32nd doesn't mean I think they're going to be the worst team in the league. It just to me means they have the lowest upside.
Oh yeah. So. That's understandable. Like womp womp. That's okay.
All right, Kyle, do you have anything to plug?
Just my podcast. I know you said you had a huge Tampa Bay fan listen to us, so please check out Word of the Bay podcast.
John, I asked your questions. You must check out Word of the Bay podcast.
Must check out my podcast.
You must.
We talk about all Tampa sports, so it's Bucks, Rays, Lightning.
John loves those teams. He's going to be like your biggest stan.
There we go. Come on, John. Follow me on Twitter at KyleWOTB. We're at WOTB Podcast on Twitter. We're on blogtalkradio.com/ Word of the Bay, I think. I think that's what our...
Mm-hmm.
So just search Word of the Bay, and you'll find us.
Kyle, WOTB. All right, Kyle, for the fourth year in a row, thank you so much. I don't dislike the Buccaneers, so I'm not rooting for Jameis, but I'm rooting for the rest of the team. So best of luck to you guys this year. Maybe you could surprise people. And maybe you'll go in 16. Who knows?
Me and you
both. But I, the truth is, now I am rooting for that. That Cutter prediction would be really like a feather in my cap.
Oh,
so I
yeah.
really hope.
If you had that.
I really hope. It, like, if they're 0-3, oh, man, I'm going to be rooting for the Bears so hard that next game.
Okay. I give you next time I come on the show, we'll have a discussion about that. Maybe you can replay the audio or something.
Yeah, you could talk about next year's new coach, Mike Smith, and how excited you are about him. All right, Kyle, thank you so much for your time. Have a good day. See you tomorrow, everybody. Bye.